Okay, so there, we got that contest out of the way, and we can go ahead and start here with our interview. And John Hoppe, how are you?
Pretty good tonight, Terry. How about yourself?
Pretty good. I appreciate you holding on while we took care of a little business here to give away the CD.
No problem.
Interestingly enough, you have quite a background here, and we'll get into it. There's lots of things I want to talk to you about, and I know you got some things you want to share with the audience as well. And we appreciate you taking time to come on the show. John Hoppe, I guess you are the director of the UFOWisconsin.com, is that right?
That is correct.
And it's interesting, you might tell us a little bit about UFOWisconsin.com and your website. I understand it's quite well. I know we have a link to it here on the website, and I've glanced at it, but you might go into a little detail about it for our listeners.
Sure.
What they can go over there and look for.
At UFO Wisconsin, what we're doing is we're kind of specializing in this in the state of Wisconsin. We are trying to track UFOs throughout the state. We're taking reports from anybody who has seen a UFO or thinks they've seen a UFO in the state of Wisconsin, or if you have lived outside the state, you can also report to us what you have seen. Hopefully through the years, with enough information gathered, we can kind of determine which way the UFOs are crossing our state, or maybe if there's activity within our state, what they're doing here.
Now, it's interestingly enough, I think you actually had a UFO sighting while you were a teenager, correct?
Yeah, that is correct. When I was about maybe 14, 15 years old.
And we'll get into that here in just a minute, but first of all, Wisconsin seems to have lots of sightings these days.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on up here. I'm not quite sure yet what's all going on and why all the sightings. A lot of people say maybe it's the beer and cheese that we have in our state. I still want to determine what's going on.
Well, that kind of reminds me, you got your own little Woodlands monster up there, something kind of like the Jersey Devil that I've heard about. I don't know if you know anything about that or not, but he kind of looks like a cow to me from some of those drawings.
Yeah, it's quite interesting what it might be.
Yeah, and I guess it's kind of like some of these others have been reported. It doesn't do any harm. It just scares the hell out of people, huh?
Yeah, it just scares people.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Now, why don't you tell us a little bit about, you had this sighting when you were 14, I believe.
That is correct.
Yeah, and you were already interested, though, in space stuff, correct?
Yeah, I've always been interested in space travel. Mm-hmm. I always wanted to go to the moon, and I had a big interest since I was a kid. And like you said, Jerry, at 14, I seen a very strange thing that quite didn't fit right with me at the time. I was 14 in Sheboygan, Wisconsin. That's 50 miles north of Milwaukee on the lakefront. And I was down at the lakefront with a couple of my friends, and I noticed a light out on the lake. And at that time, Sheboygan was a big fishing area. I thought some fishermen had dropped over a waterproof lantern. It was just bobbing in the lake, and it was very close to shore, maybe 20, 30 feet out. And it was a warm night, so I decided to go out there and retrieve it. And as I was going out to retrieve it, I noticed it was moving away from me, and I'm thinking, the water's getting awful cold, it's getting awful deep, so I decided to head back to shore.
So you were swimming or in a boat or what?
And I was waiting.
Uh-huh.
It wasn't that deep. It was maybe waist deep at that time.
Okay.
But it drops off out there a little bit, and I didn't want to go out too far. So I was heading back, and I decided to turn around to see where the object was, and I noticed it was quite closer this time. And I'm thinking, okay, let's try one more time to go out and get this. And I waited out, and it moved away again. And I'm thinking, okay, this is enough of playing games. I'm not going to go out there and get hypothermia just for a flashlight. But on the way back, I decided to look one more time, and I noticed that the object was raising out of the water, and it rose up to a point that I could see the horizon underneath it. And at that point in time, I kind of hightailed it out of there, being 14 years old and a little bit scared.
Now, it was you could actually see it underneath the water as well as on top of the water, huh?
It was bobbing in the water like a floating object would.
And about how big would you think this object was?
It was about the size of maybe a basketball, I guess, at that time. It was, like I said, maybe 20.
And it wasn't that far from you, as you said.
No, it wasn't. I thought I could go out there and retrieve it quite simply, but it turned out to be more of a task than I thought.
Mm-hmm. It kept getting away from you, or it just, what was it, a glowing orange ball of light, or what color was it?
It was a glowing orange ball of light.
It was glowing orange. Okay.
And it kept its distance from me. It kept like a 20 to 30 feet.
In other words, it was almost like an optical illusion, but you're sure it wasn't?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it wasn't an optical illusion.
I mean, but it was almost touchable, but never quite there.
Yeah. it's just like one of those analogies. It's like one of those dreams that's out of your reach, you know?
Mm-hmm. Now, I guess probably that small, you probably thought it might have been just a lantern or a flashlight or something like that.
That is correct. That's what I thought it was. I thought it was a flashlight that had fallen overboard off of one of the fishing vessels that was on the lake that night.
Now, how far out from the shore do you think you were by the time you decided to turn around?
I'd say maybe 20, 30 feet.
Mm-hmm.
And Lake Michigan is a freshwater lake, and it's very cold in the summer. It's about 50 degrees, so hypothermia sets in quite quick.
Yeah, right. You're probably already shivering.
Yeah. So I decided to come back in, and it just kept following me. And at one point,
yeah. So in other words, when you turned around to come back in, the object still was behind you, always about 20 feet.
That is correct.
So you turned around and saw it, and what? What'd you do?
Well, when I turned around and saw it, it was raising out of the water, kind of hugging, and I could see the horizon underneath it. I just kind of, like, panicked, and I got out of the water, went to my friends, got in the car, and we headed out of there. And the whole time I'm thinking, what did I see? What did I see?
Did your friends see it?
No, they didn't.
Mm-hmm.
It was a male-female friend, and they were, kind of watching the stars at the white
zone. Well, sure, or whatever.
Yeah.
This was just, was it one continuous glow of light, or did it...
One continuous glow, just like a jack-o'-lantern.
Only no face there.
No face.
So you guys hightailed it out of there, to use your term, I think, one time when you were telling one of our producers about it.
Mm-hmm.
You literally were scared.
Yes. And I was trying to figure out the whole time, what was I seeing? Why did that raise out of the water? I thought, okay, it's the reflection of the moon rising up over the horizon. And I'm looking in the sky for the moon to confirm my temporary conclusion, and I couldn't find the moon.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, okay, that's not it. What we did actually end up doing is we went to a local McDonald's, got some food to calm down, and decided to head back down to the lake to see if it was still there.
And?
And on the way back down, we're heading east, and there's the moon full in the sky, white as can be. And it's like, we were only gone for 15 minutes. I don't believe that the moon can go from the horizon to about a 45-degree position in 15 minutes.
Well, so do you have an explanation of what would make you miss the moon? I mean, why it would disappear there?
Well, I talked to a lot of people. A lot of people think it's probably missing time, but I don't feel it was.
Mm-hmm. Well, your friends would know if you were gone very long.
Yeah.
And they certainly probably weren't involved in some kind of abduction.
No.
Have you had other UFO sightings?
Yes. Last year, I attended an event here in Wisconsin called UFO Days, which is held at Long Lake.
And when does that happen, and what is that all about?
It happens every third Saturday of July.
Uh-huh, so it's coming up.
It's coming up next week.
Mm-hmm. Are you going up there next week?
Oh, yes.
How far is that from you?
Well, it's about a 30-mile drive.
Mm-hmm.
That's not too far.
Why don't you tell our listeners a little bit what happens here, and somebody might want to go on a vacation trip. That might be fun.
So UFO Days, and you can find all this information on our website at UFOWisconsin.com. What it is it's a small informal gathering of people that have interest in alien abductions, UFOs, or anything of the paranormal. We can get together and discuss things that we may have all learned over the time, experiences, stories. And we have local speakers that will be talking also about their experiences. And we usually end up at the conclusion of it and having a sky watch. And that's what we had last year also, and we had some UFO show up.
You actually had one appear while you guys were all out there looking up in the sky. Huh?
That is correct. Actually, it was four of them that appeared.
And what was that? Was it were they in formation, or could you tell, were they far away or close or what?
Well, they were fairly close. The first three came from the south to the north, and actually followed the exact same flight pattern. They were basically a reddish-yellow ball of light that people typically see. And actually, the second one actually responded to a fisherman who was on a pontoon boat out on the lake. He had one of those high-powered spotlights. And he flashed the craft as it flew. And at that point, the craft slowed down and actually flashed back.
Wow.
Yeah. So you got a lot of oohs and ahs out of the crowd for that. And we thought, okay, three hours.
About how many people were there, you think?
I would say roughly around 50. 50 people seen this. We had video recordings and photographs, and a lot of this is documented on the UFOWisconsin.com website. To continue on with the story, we thought that the first three would be like, that's great, that's spectacular, they showed up, or somebody's pulling a good hoax on us. But then a fourth object showed up much farther to the south of us, and it looked like another red-yellow ball of light. But this time there was something different about it. There was two other objects circling around it that were bluish-green color, and a lot of people referred to it looking like electrons going around an atom, or even possibly a dogfight taking place. And this traversed from the southeast to the southwest over a period of time, and it became stationary in the southwest sky.
Could you hear any sound?
No
mm-hmm.
sound at all.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're watching this thing in the southwest, being stationary and hovering. And all of a sudden there was a popping sound, and the yellow reddish ball of light broke in two and dropped. One of the blue-green objects shot off to the north at a tremendous rate of speed, and the other one just sat there hovering for a while. And that one actually outlasted everybody because a lot of people were there since noon, and it's almost 12 hours later talking. The heat, the humidity was unbelievable, and we were just all wore out, so we just like said, okay, you know, Mr. UFO, you can sit there, and we're all going home.
And the ball that fell down, did it hit into the water or something?
We could never determine from its trajectory where it ended up.
Mm-hmm. Next day, anybody trying to go over there and see if there's any wreckage or anything?
There's a lot of marsh area back there, a lot of standing swamp grass and stuff. We need like some kind of swamp boat to get back there to see if there's any wreckage.
Yeah.
So it was unfortunate that we couldn't see if there's any wreckage back there or any type of material without the proper equipment, but we're hoping to be able to do something this year. We got some more equipment, more sightseers, so we can triangulate positions if something does show up, and maybe a couple boats.
Well, somebody listening, is this a private organization, or can anybody just show up with this at the lake here for this thing?
Anybody can show up. It's open to the public.
Now, where are going to meet? Like, if I was going to drive up there, I get up there to where is it exactly again? What highway is it?
It's on Highway 67, and it's located just outside the little town of Bundy, Wisconsin.
Uh-huh.
And it's held at Benson's Hideaway, and he actually has it nicknamed the UFO Headquarters.
Is there a sign out there or something?
Yes. Yeah. You can go into Bundy, and you can ask for Benson's Hideaway or the UFO Headquarters.
They'll know.
They'll know. It's a well-known spot in this area for people to go talk about.
And what happens at this retreat? It's next Saturday, right?
That is correct.
Not tomorrow, but a week from tomorrow.
That is correct.
And what happens? I mean, do you have anything planned, or people just informally sit around and meet each other and tell stories to each other and talk about things, or what?
We usually sit around and informally just tell stories, but this year we have several local speakers that we're going to be talking, myself included. We have a gentleman coming from Illinois talking about Black Project aircraft. We have the original gentleman who started UFO Day speaking. We have actually Heidi Hollis is going to be there speaking.
Well, great.
Some other people.
That may be worth the drive myself. And then I'm just kidding. But anyway.
Well, I'm right from Oklahoma.
It certainly would be. But it sounds exciting. It really does.
It's a great time. You want to talk about missing time, you come up to Benson's and you talk to Bill himself or any of his patrons, and you will lose time. You'll be there for hours and don't even realize it.
So all I have to do is just ask for the UFO headquarters and everybody will know what they're talking about.
Exactly.
Now, Larry and I had a big debate on whether or not we're going to put you on a Paranormal Friday and put you on a UFO show, John Hoppe, simply because you've had a ghost haunting, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, and
how'd you find out about that?
We do a little research around here.
Okay.
Could you briefly tell me about that, or do you want to take a break first? I'm gonna go up to a break. Can you tell it in about a minute or two?
Yeah, let's take a break.
Okay, we'll take a break and we'll be back here in a moment. This is John Hoppe we're talking with, and John Hoppe, of course, is director of UFOWisconsin.com. So don't go away, folks. Welcome back to the UFO Files. I I'm Jerry Pippin. If you'd like to follow the show on our website, go to jerrypippin.com and click on the program schedule and read about our guest, John Hoppe, who's director of UFOWisconsin.com, or click on the flying saucer on our front page and follow the UFO reports that we'll get into later tonight. Let's go back to John Hoppe, and he's on the line from Wisconsin. Where are you in Wisconsin, John?
I'm in Sheboygan, Wisconsin.
Okay, we talked about that a little earlier about Sheboygan. I didn't know for sure if you were there all the time or just that for that trip to see the water and wade out in the cold water and see the glow of the round basketball. Would that be about what we would say you saw?
Yeah, that's about right.
Yeah, okay.
It's easier to say, right?
And it basically followed you around.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to talk about UFOs here, basically, but I have an interest in ghost hauntings, and you actually had an encounter, I guess, with the ghost of your brother?
That is correct.
And maybe you could tell us a little bit about that.
Well, my brother died when he was 13 years old from a tragic accident.
Mm-hmm.
And after that, strange things that started happening around the house. Not me at first. My mother, who heard breaking glass, alarm clocks in his room being turned on and off by themselves. We eventually moved out of that house and into a new one, and at that time, that's when I started being haunted at times. I was in high school at the time, and I'd study at my desk, turn off the light, get in bed, the light, and come back on, get back out, thinking I was tired from studying. I didn't turn it off, get back in bed, comes back on. This happened several times, and then one night I just said, you know, this is enough of that, you know, stop it, and it never happened again.
Were you and your brother close? You were older than him, I take it.
Yes, I was older than him.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, we were very close.
And so you're pretty well convinced that this is probably his way of staying in touch.
Well, this wreaking havoc on my life a little bit.
And then when he actually figured out, I guess, that it was the more disturbing than helpful,
it
ended. Let's talk a little bit about some more pleasant subjects for you now here, and we've talked about how you got interested in the whole area of UFOs as a youth, and you had your own sighting. We talked about those.
Okay.
John Hoppe is our guest, and he's on the line from Sheboygan, Wisconsin. And John, what's the most interesting sighting that you've run across? You get something interesting on your website you'd like to point everybody to? I mean, in that area?
Actually, there's two I pulled out for this.
Okay.
I'd like to talk about the most famous Wisconsin sighting. I don't know if a lot of listeners know about it, but it's about a man named Joe Symington. And this happened on April 18th, 1961.
I say I know nothing about this, so this is going to be...
You know about Joe?
No, you need to tell me about it.
All right. This is what happened in 1961. Joe was a chicken farmer who was working on his farm one day, and he heard a noise in the sky and turned around, and there was a craft in his backyard. He decided to walk up to it because the door had opened and there was a gentleman inside. As he walked up to the door, the gentleman indicated with some kind of jar that he needed some water. No... vocal communication was exchanged, or telepathy was just gestures. And Joe understood what he wanted, filled the jug with water, and returned it to the gentleman inside the craft. And at that time, Joe noticed some things inside the craft, like other people operating control panel, and actually one actually cooking some kind of food. At that time, Joe indicated to the gentleman he'd like some of the food. And the alien... as he called an alien, handed him four pancakes. And it's been ever famous since then.
The actual pancakes, huh?
Yeah, actual pancakes. Project Blue Book was involved in investigating some other scientific research organizations. There was a witness to the event of seeing some type of craft leaving the area. And it came up that the pancakes, after they were now analyzed, that it was just terrestrial ingredients.
And just regular pancakes.
Regular pancakes. But Joe Symington did taste one of them, and he said it tasted like cardboard.
Huh.
And,
these were humanoid-type people inside the craft?
Yeah, he said they were dark-skinned, olive-type-looking individuals, Italian. Mm-hmm. They're about 5 feet tall, age 25 to 30 years of age, dark blue uniforms, turtlenecks. One Piece.
And they were cooking up pancakes. Needed some water. Did they use the water to cook with, or what did they do with that water?
It never says. Never says.
Hmm. And that happened all the way back 41 years ago.
That is correct.
1961.
That is correct.
And you said you had two incidents to tell us about.
Yes. The other one's out of Bayfield, Wisconsin. This happened back in 1978. It was interesting because it was from a gentleman who was with the Coast Guard at the time, and he was out in Lake Superior, I believe, because that's where Bayfield is located, up north in Wisconsin. And he said he'd seen several objects that night, about 2 a.m. while he's on patrol looking for some boats. And several other witnesses that were on board spotted something in the sky moving south to north at a tremendous rate of speed. And this was confirmed by other Coast Guard boats on the lake that night. And they used a communication system called Fast Talk, which they barely ever used. The gentleman says he's never seen it used since he's been in the Coast Guard, so that was interesting.
Hey, Fast Talk, huh?
Yeah.
I never heard of that either.
Neither have I. Must be some kind of rapid communication system that they use for emergencies or something like that. But what's interesting is he says that the Canadian Air Force was called out, and they had a sortie that night, or scrambled, to intercept some kind of object that showed up on radar that night. And he places these objects somewhere probably over Canada or in Canadian airspace.
And for our listeners who are not familiar with Wisconsin, you're fairly close at that point where he was.
That is correct.
To Canada.
Yep, it's crossed Lake Superior in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
So that was very interesting.
And so the theory there is that the Canadian Air Force was chasing this craft.
In theory, yes. Yeah, he basically says that it's possible that they launched they scrambled their jets for this object, or it could have been something completely unrelated. But it's an interesting story in itself, because, you know, you have these objects in the sky at that time. The Canadian Air Force scrambled jets to intercept the bogey on radar, which as soon as they got into the air, it says here that the object disappeared.
Now, you have these things documented and laid out on your website.
That is correct.
And so people can go over there and basically check out that. And you'd like to hear reports from people who don't necessarily live in Wisconsin anymore, but maybe had a Wisconsin sighting.
That is correct.
At UFOWisconsin.com.
It's all one word, UFOWisconsin.com. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're looking to have the largest database ever for one state of UFO sightings. We have had a lot of people write to us asking us if it's okay if they submit an older report from the 60s, or that they don't live in the state anymore, but they did and they've seen it as a child, can they file a report? Yes, you can. If you know a news story or heard of a story, please send it to us. We're trying to compile a database to see where everything is moving around in our skies. And some interesting patterns have been showing up already.
Yeah, like for instance?
Like for instance, if we have on our site two different ways you can navigate reports. One is by county, so if you live in Wisconsin, you pretty much know what county you live in, and you can look in that county to find out what sightings have happened, or by date. And I just ran a report today for county sightings, and the most sightings so far are in two different counties. One is Dane County, and one is Milwaukee County.
Okay, now Milwaukee County, I assume, is around Milwaukee, the city.
That is correct.
And so that's where most of the population is.
That is correct.
And so that would stand to reason. But what about this other county?
Dane County?
Uh-huh.
It houses our capital, which is Madison, Wisconsin.
Yeah, around Madison.
Mm-hmm. That's another large populated area. But what's interesting is, and I'm not saying this is the conclusion, but there's two large airports in these two different areas. So it's possible that people are seeing aircraft, but I'm not jumping to that conclusion because, you know, there's a lot of people in that area, like you said, or it could be because it is a large area. And
it also could be because there's major airports there, and it's actually UFOs. I mean, there's all kinds of possibilities.
All kinds of possibilities. I'm just pointing out that those are the two largest counties right now that have UFO sightings, and it's kind of coincidental that they both have the airports there, the large airports.
You said on your... on your website, John Hoppe, that you could actually look these things up by date as well?
That is correct.
Then you'd probably know, are there more sightings now or 40 years ago?
There were more sightings back in, I would say, the late 60s, early 70s
mm-hmm.
in Wisconsin. I think a lot of the sighting has dropped off due to the fact that a lot of people don't want to report anymore because of the fact that is if they do report and investigators do look into them, they're going to be like discredited or made to look like fools. And these people obviously believe what they saw, so they're keeping silent. I have talked to quite a few people that have told me amazing stories and shown me photographs that they will not allow me to put on my sites or reproduce.
Because they don't want to be
the ridicule.
Mm-hmm.
And I was actually just looking at an article on Joe Symington, and he says if he ever had another sighting again, he would never report it.
Mm.
Because of the chaos and the circus that took place when he reported the whole thing about the four pancakes. Basically
yeah.
said he never reported again. And it's kind of a shame because a lot of people out there do have important information to help solve this enigma, but they're unwilling to come forward because of those, the dogma, if you want to
mm-hmm.
say that that's the correct word, about the whole thing of reporting.
I'm interested in how, for the state of Wisconsin, for instance, how it would break down as far as the type of people that they see come out of flying saucers, or if there have been very many extraterrestrials sighted at all. Are there very many sightings where actually they had close encounters?
There are very few,
uh-huh.
very few here in Wisconsin that I know of, and those that have come forward. We're keeping that information off the site. Their reports or initial reports or that follow-up investigations
mm-hmm.
into those are off the site due to the fact that I have to keep the information fresh, that other people won't be able to use that information to hoax. It keeps the privacy for those individuals. But there's very few.
Very few.
Yes, very few.
Well, now, since you've been interested in UFOs all this time and... you got your own website there. What's your conclusion, or do you have one yet?
I strongly believe that UFOs do exist. There's so much circumstantial evidence that a lot of the writers out there, and I've seen that you had Stanton Friedman on there,
yes.
Peter Davenport, MUFON, they all have done excellent jobs of supporting and getting evidence to support the fact that UFOs do exist. I think for UFO Wisconsin to duplicate that is redundant and useless, so we're taking it a step higher and actually trying to figure out what they're doing. We don't have the resources like MUFON or other organizations to launch a full investigation and have all these people look into sightings. We just track.
Yeah, what about a little analysis here, John Hoppe? I mean, what do you think is happening?
Oh, I think they're here, and I think they're using Wisconsin to do something. Either it's the aliens or a military. This is just one of the theories, and I have no proof or anything to back this up right now.
Well, sure, but I'd like to hear it.
Okay, let's take, for example, you're using Area 51, the most publicized place in the world. What better place to hide a little operation of stealth aircraft, alien aircraft testing or whatever, in a small state up north someplace where no one's even looking? The circus is going down and taking place in Nevada, or they could be up in Wisconsin where no one's even looking, testing aircraft, alien technology, secret spy planes, you name it. It could be a possibility.
Yeah, we had somebody lecturing on Black Project
aircraft,
next week there at your little meeting at the lake, and we'll plug that again before we get off.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you come down on that situation? I mean, do you think there's some black projects involved, or do you think all of this stuff might be extraterrestrial? Or?
I think it's a combination of both.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen this man's presentation before, and it is excellent. The information that he has gathered and the research he has done, once you see it, it doesn't leave a lot of doubt in your mind that the government does have black project aircraft and that they've been trying to develop it all the way back from World War II. Even World War One, you know, Hitler was involved in a lot of this stuff, and it's just amazing the information that he has.
Mm.
I like to I'd like to point out one thing, though, Jerry. If there's other UFO organizations out there that are interested in any of the sightings on UFO Wisconsin to further investigate, that they can contact me for more information. Like I said, we don't have the resources to do so, but we like to be able to pass that information on to the qualified investigators to look into those things for those people.
Well, sure, and we're glad to pass along the word, and as we say, we always leave up our links even after the show, as you well know, because and you're always welcome to come back on any time when we get to the point where we, you have something you think that really needs to get attention and we'll help you, we're always there.
Great.
The thing that I want to ask you before we leave, and we're going to have to go in a few minutes, but...
Mm-hmm.
We're talking, by the way, with John Hoppe here, and he has UFOWisconsin.com. And Larry and I have been joking about some place up there where there seems to be a bar or something, and people seem to report to George Filer every once in a while a sighting. Is this Bundy, you think?
Yeah, I think it's Bill Benson's hideaway in Bundy, Wisconsin.
Yeah, okay.
People come from afar to go to this. It's a restaurant tavern to talk to Bill and tell him the stories.
And what kind of guy is he?
He is the most laid-back gentleman you could ever meet. We actually have a picture on our website of him. You go to UFOWisconsin.com, and you look at the navigation bar to the left. You can click on UFO Hangouts and click on the Bill Benson, and you'll see a photograph of him. He actually posted this. He has little alien glasses on. It looks like alien eyes of the grays, and... He's just a fun guy. He's a great guy to talk to.
Yeah, you mentioned Area 51, and here you're in Wisconsin, not only do you have lots of sightings, but just like Area 51 at Rachel, they had a little A&M, well, you've got your own little place up here in Wisconsin.
Exactly, and there's rumors, Jerry, that there is a Area 51 type thing up here.
Where would it be located?
I believe it's located on the west side of the state. I'm not the one that does the research, so I don't have the accurate information on that.
Interesting.
Yes.
Before we wrap it up here, I'd like to ask you a couple of things, John Hoppe, and then I'm going to give you a chance to expound upon anything that we haven't had a chance to talk about. But I have an email here from somebody who wants to know basically why you want to talk more about extraterrestrials in Wisconsin. In other words, I guess they're drawing the conclusion that you mentioned the fact that you didn't want to get into that when I asked you, you know, if you had any close encounters. And I guess that's what that's about.
Well, we're just starting off on the basic level. We do have reports of extraterrestrials, and we are working on adding stuff to the site about ETs and maybe tracking those also, alien abductions that kind of correlate with UFO sightings and alien abductions. We're just not set up for that at this point in time. We're just taking little baby steps, making sure everything we're doing right isn't what we're doing, staying credible, making sure everything is flowing smoothly. We don't want to rush into things before it's time, so we start looking like we're incompetent or like fools, get egg in our face and those type of things. But I am definitely interested in alien stuff also. We just think that it was a little easier for people to digest the UFOs first.
So when they go over here to UFOWisconsin.com, they're going to find plenty of interesting stuff anyway, right?
That is correct. We have over 455 reports on our website at this time, ranging from 1890s all the way up to the present.
So you make about the third person that's mentioned some 1890-era type stuff that we've had on the air, not from Wisconsin. There's some Texas sightings as well, and some overseas. So these alien craft have been around for a while.
Yep.
At least it seems like it.
That's what it seems like, you know.
And we've had guests on, as you know, looking at our guest list, the people that believe that they've been here for thousands and thousands of years.
That's what some of the research I've been looking at lately suggests, that they've been here for a lot longer than we realize.
Well, the major question is, why don't they make contact, or have they?
They may have, but would we believe it? That is the question. With all the things about hoaxes and having actually proof, would we believe an alien walked up to you and knocked on your door, Jerry, and said, hey, I'm an alien, I'd like to be on your show?
What would you think? Well, I don't know. The best way for them to do is just show up here on Friday night.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, always look. You never know.
You might want to put a parking spot out there for
us. We might come up the elevator and come right in.
Put a little sign out there, UFO parking only.
Hey, you got a good sense of humor, John Hoppe, and I wish you a lot of luck on your website. How long have you been doing that?
We started this September 1st, 2001.
Well, you're coming up to the first anniversary.
That is correct. And we're looking forward to it. We're looking to be around for quite some time.
Now, once again, this big thing next weekend actually happens at the little tavern, or is it the lake, or what?
It's a little tavern, a bar/tavern, and he's got a little part of the lake behind him that we all sit out and watch,
mm-hmm.
and boats come in from off the lake to his tavern and bar. So, there's one other thing I'd like to mention, too, Jerry.
Sure.
On UFO Wisconsin, we have an online newsletter called Pancake Perspectives, which is kind of honoring Joe Simonton and his courage to come forward and talk about his sighting. And basically what it is, it's a newsletter that we send out biweekly, and we accept articles on any theories, ideas that anybody wants to submit. So it's like a forum for unpublished authors to put their theories out there. You can positive, negative.
Is it an electronic newsletter?
Yep.
Okay.
We send it out through a mailing list,
uh-huh.
where you can view it online on our site.
Mm-hmm.
And we have some very interesting articles written out by some very thoughtful people. It could be from several pages, articles to a simple comment like, I don't believe UFOs exist. So if there's anybody out there that's looking to get some of their ideas and theories out there, take a look at Pancake Perspectives at UFOWisconsin.com, and maybe we can help you out.
Hey, no, we'll certainly do that ourselves even. Now, before you leave, I've got to ask you one other question, John Hoppe.
Sure.
And that is, I asked you about dates, and you've broken them down to counties here in Wisconsin as far as sightings. How about types of craft?
We haven't broken it down to types of craft. I'm just looking for movement.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm noticing that more and more that maybe I should be including the types of craft. So I might be going through all these things and adding some of the stuff to my database, but if you're looking for types of craft, a lot of the stuff is right in the reports. The reports that you see on the website are exactly the way they were written
mm-hmm.
from the witnesses. We do have a search feature on our site, so if you're looking for triangle craft, you can type in triangle, and triangle was written in the
eyewitness
account.
Yeah.
You can find them.
Just curious, but you really haven't kept count of it yourself.
No, I'm just...
It just seems to me, and this is collateral knowledge only because I don't really know either, but it seems to me the triangle, the blind triangles are really making, a big impact in the last 5-10 years.
Yeah, they are becoming very more and more noticeable. Back in 1998 here in Wisconsin, just south of us in a city called Port Washington, a black triangle was seen flying over. So they are being seen everywhere. I just noticed in Filers, and that the shuttle was being chased from some kind of triangle formation. And so, yep, they're becoming very, very clear.
Go over to his website and get the details, and that would be at UFOWisconsin.com.